This is Doug Miller. Did you know that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil? He cannot tolerate it. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. And we are back with you one more time to speak forth the Word of God and to leave it up to God to use His Word to change lives, to open eyes, to touch hearts, and to revive His people. He can save, and He can build up, and He can edify. And the Holy Spirit is here with us to show us the things of Christ. So come along, bring your Bibles. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, last week we began a new book, the book of Habakkuk, and we got down through chapter 1, verse 8, and we will take it up there again, and we will see some things about God. And they are good things, things that we all need to see and think about. And things that can change our lives. We need to examine ourselves as well as God, don't we? So, once again, open up your Bibles, Habakkuk chapter 1, and we would always love to hear from you. I always say that only because it's true. You have no idea how encouraging it is to just get letters. I don't care how simple they are. Brother, we're out here. We're praying for you. I'm telling you. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Because frankly, you know, I'm sitting here before this microphone in a room with books, you know, around me, and I can't see you, and I don't know where you are or who you are. And just a joy to get feedback. So write to us. Tell us hello. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you later on at the end of the broadcast. Also, pray for us. I always say that we cannot function without your prayers. Oh, I can get on here and talk. I can put words out there, but they will have no force. They will have no power. And ultimately, I'm sure I will mislead and just mess things up and make a mess of it. Because that's what I do best. I need your prayers. Please pray for me and pray for Dialogue Ministries. All right. When we left last week and left off, we saw, just by way of review, Habakkuk. Very concerned about the righteousness of God. Very concerned that God be vindicated, that he vindicate himself. We saw him asking a question, how long are you going to tolerate this, Lord? And we saw that Habakkuk's not concerned so much about Israel. He seems to have been, you know, convinced that Israel as a nation was not going to repent. They were going to go on in their wickedness and rebellion. But he is concerned about God. How long, God, can they do this? How long will you put up with it? And we saw God saying, not long, not long. I have already got waiting in the wings a nation that I'm going to bring in, and they will be the instrument to execute judgment and vengeance against Israel. And they will wipe the slate, and they will wipe the plate clean. And they will level this place and level it to the earth. Now, of course, you know, those of you who have read Jeremiah, the prophet realized that when Jeremiah told all the rulers and the false prophets in Jerusalem this, they accused him of falling away to the Chaldeans, of being a traitor to his people, and so on and so forth. I hope that there are none of you out there who are saying of me right now, you know, you are a discouraging man, saying all these evil things about this great nation, that God is going to judge it, and so on and so forth. Oh, friends, let me tell you something. We will repent, or God will judge us. And I don't see any indication at all that anyone, that this nation as a nation is repenting of anything. I don't see this nation turning back to God en masse. What I see is that we are going on and on and on in wickedness and evil. And that's exactly what Habakkuk saw. And my prayer, frankly, is exactly what Habakkuk's was. O Lord, vindicate yourself. This cannot go on and on and on. There is an end. There must be an end. And friends, I want to tell you that I believe we are living in the last times. You've heard me say that on here before. If it is not true, then I'm sure, you know, 1,000 years from now, someone will say, well, there was just another fool back there saying the end is near, and it wasn't. Friends, at the risk of that, I am telling you, I believe we are living in the last times. And just as the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, were that nation waiting in the wings to destroy Israel, I believe that evil and wicked and idolatrous nations can certainly be used by God to bring us down, unless there is repentance and turning around, and I sure don't see it. But that doesn't mean I'm not praying for it. That doesn't mean that I don't want to see it. It's just that I don't. And I couldn't put it more honestly if I tried. Now, we saw last time, we read down through verse 8, and in verse 9 of Habakkuk 1, we have more talk here about the Babylonians. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Well, there is Nebuchadnezzar, you see. Nebuchadnezzar talking about his God, an idol, and thinking that it was his God that was giving him this power, and not at all aware of the fact that it was not his God, but the very God of Israel that gave him this power and gave him leave to do it and raised him up and used him. I find that a most fascinating thing to think about, don't you? Because there are lots of false gods out there right now. And there are people serving them very jealously and very diligently, much more jealously and diligently in many cases than you see so-called Christians serving the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in this country. I am telling you. And if I have to name names, I'll name them. If you think that Allah is the true God, let me tell you what the book says. It says the gods of the Gentiles are idols. God's name is not Allah, it is Yahweh. And isn't it interesting and instructive that so much of the violence today aimed at the nation of Israel, who are there in that little country, they're clinging on by their fingernails, as it were, and aimed at this country because we support Israel. And that's exactly why the violence is aimed at us. It's, you know, they call us the great Satan, fine. But the reason is because we are the supporter and sustainer of Israel. And isn't it interesting that they are doing this in the name of their God, and they have deceived many into believing and trying to believe and think that they worship the same God we do. Wrong. Wrong. if Yahweh and Allah are the same God, you're going to have to explain to me why the Quran and the New and Old Testaments do not agree with one another. How can Allah be in disagreement with Yahweh about who Jesus is and was? How can that happen if they are the same God? They are not the same God. But you will notice that the violence that is being directed to Israel and to this nation, much of it is being done in the name of Allah, their God. And it is just like Nebuchadnezzar here. He may have thought that his God was giving him the power to do what he had done to Israel and to Jerusalem. Wrong. He was dead wrong, and he had a lot to learn. And he did learn. And if you don't believe it, go back and read the book of Daniel and see how God dealt with this man. And by the time God got through with him, he lifted up his eyes and said, there's only one God, and it's the God of Daniel, and he's the true God of heaven. And that is the truth. And there is only one God, friends. And his name is not Allah, once again. It is not Ahura Mazda. It is not Ramakrishna. It is not Odin or Thor or Hermes or any of these gods. His name is Yahweh. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. And if you are rejecting God the Son, you do not have the Father. And he is the one that is in charge. And he has not relinquished one iota of his authority over this earth. And if judgment falls on this nation, and if hordes of individuals out of the Middle East swarm into this nation, I'm saying if that happens, and if they attribute this to their God, they will be dead wrong. It will be because Yahweh has turned us over to them and is using them to bring judgment on us, just like he did back here. Now, I probably offended a bunch of you there, but as you know by now, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time, offending people doesn't bother me. I'm not out here trying to offend you, but if that happens because I told the truth, then you'll just have to be offended. But you need to look at this. Now, let's pick it up again. And we have got in the 12th verse, we now have the prophet Habakkuk. If you go back and begin with verse 5 of Habakkuk 1 and go down through verse 11, this is God talking. This is God talking. Now we get Habakkuk talking. And what we have is an interesting dialogue, a back-and-forth discussion between Habakkuk the prophet and Yahweh Elohim, the only true God. Now, the name of this program's Dialogue, and of course, those of you who've been listening to it for very long understand that it's really kind of a monologue, and I've explained to you before why we call it Dialogue rather than monologue, but I won't go into that now. But we really, in this book, Prophet Habakkuk, we do have, indeed, a dialogue between Yahweh and Habakkuk. And in verse 12, Habakkuk takes it up and says to God, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. You got to love this guy. You got to love this guy. His words are so powerful and so beautiful. And his knowledge of God is just so refreshing. You know, man told me one time, he said, the relationship between a believer and God is really one-on-one. How true, how true. I want you to get that. Yes, there is a church. Yes, the church is the collective body of Christ. But when it comes right down to it, I cannot assure that any of my brothers and sisters in Christ are going to have anything like a fruitful relationship with the Lord. I can't grab you, any of you, by the nape of the neck and hold you up and shake you and say, look, straighten up and fly right, sister, brother, nor can you do it to me. But when it comes right down to it, I am responsible for my relationship with the Lord, for how I see Him, for what I do with Him. I can know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I can be the one drawn to the Lord Jesus and drawn up into that high and holy place. And by the Holy Spirit, I can see by faith the man in glory. And I can be transformed into His image. And I can look upon Him. And I can say what our man Habakkuk said here. O Lord, my God, my Holy One. You know, when John was in the island of Patmos, he saw, in chapter 1 of Revelation, he recorded it, the resurrected, glorified Christ. And he fell down at His feet like a dead man. Now, this is the same John that had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, 17th chapter of Matthew, and saw the Lord Jesus transfigured before his very eyes. Imagine. This is a transforming thing. O Lord, my God, mine Holy One. Holy in the sense of being set apart from anything that is evil. We shall not die. We shall not die. You know, the Babylonians were the ones who were going to fall under judgment. Oh, the Lord would use them. Yes, He would use them, and how He used them. In fact, you know, of all the people carried away into captivity, only a remnant ever came back to Israel. Only a small handful ever came back. Most of them went away into judgment and into dispersion, and we have no idea where they are now. But when Habakkuk says, we shall not die, he is looking perhaps at this remnant, and he knows that God has His hand on them, and He will preserve them and take them through the floods of judgment and bring them out on the other side. And let me tell you something, all of you out there. The nation of Israel is not going anywhere. They're not going to be wiped out. They're not going to be, you know, wiped off the face of the earth, as Ahmadinejad seems to think and desire, and many of those who are, you know, fighting against. They're not going anywhere. God is going to give the land in its totality, from the Nile to the Euphrates. He's going to give it to the descendants of Abraham and Isaac. Did you get that? And Jacob, and they are going to possess that land, and He will establish His kingdom in Jerusalem with His King, Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, physically ruling over it, and that is how it's going to be. And He will bring the remnant of Israel through the waters of tribulation, and He will stand the remnant in His kingdom, and they will cry unto the Lord, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. And you can put that in the bank. I am telling you. And as far as the church, they're going to live too. They are going to be caught up at the before the tribulation ever begins. At the end of this church age, this age of grace, which I am persuaded is closing rapidly out, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to the Lord in the air. And we will ever be with the Lord. We will live and not die. Now let's go on. We got a little time here left. Let's look at verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. It's the verse quoted. Talked about at the very first of the broadcast. I'm sure you've heard that one. I'm sure you've heard preachers talk about that. It's the truth. purer eyes than to behold evil. I am telling you that evil and wickedness do not exist in the presence of Almighty God. And some of you are saying, well, didn't Satan come into the presence of God in the book of Job? Doesn't he have access to the throne? Yes, he does, but only temporarily, friends. God will always deal with evil because he will not tolerate it ad infinitum. And he will deal with it. And he has dealt with it already in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary to take our sins away so that we can be fit to stand in his presence. Because, friend, if you're out there today thinking, well, I'll just kind of do the best I can and somehow God will sweep the rest under the carpet. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm not everything that I can be. You'd better be perfect, because those are the only ones that come into the Lord's presence. Well, you say, oh, wait a minute. Well, if that's the case, I'll never be there, nor will anyone else. Ah, yes, we will. Those of us who are saved and born again will be there in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, in him, possessing his righteousness, joint heirs with Christ. He paid it all, and he paid for it on Calvary. And it is he and he alone who fits those of us who have been saved, born again by grace through faith in him, those of us who have called on him and received him as Savior and Lord. He is the one that will bring us forth in beauty and glory and righteousness to stand perfected in the presence of this one who is of purer eyes than to look on iniquity. Well, we are about to run out of time, but let's just go on and see what else we can see here in the time we have left. We've got Habakkuk, you know, because he knows the purity of the Lord. He asks this question again. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore, they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? We have this first chapter of Habakkuk ending on this note. This note about evil people again, and why God is tolerating them and will put up with him. And friends, the answer is he does not and will not. But he has a principle, and that principle is that he allows evil to come to full fruition. He gives men full space to repent, and women too. And no one can say when judgment finally falls, well, I didn't have a chance. If you just waited a little longer, I'd have straightened up. Oh, no. God does give you a chance. And if you won't repent and if you won't straighten up, evil will fall and judgment will fall. Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue,